This podcast is a Uniting Heart and Soul production and was recorded on land that was stolen nearly 250 years ago. Filthy Hope was conceived and dreamt on Gadigal and Birrabirragal country. We acknowledge these peoples as the traditional owners of these lands, and we extend our respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. We at Filthy Hope pay homage to the traditions of storytelling when we share stories on this podcast. Hello and welcome back to Filthy Hope, a podcast from Uniting Heart and Soul in Woollahra, where we dive into the grey spaces where Jesus, life and culture intersect. I'm your host, Jonty, Creative Director at Uniting Heart and Soul, and joining me this week, back from leave, is Rev Ness. Ness and I are joined on the podcast by visual artist, Leanne Mabry-Smith, to talk about her work and how her faith interfaces with it. There are links to the work Leanne has been doing with Studio 17 down in the description and the show notes, so please do go and check out her stuff. Enjoy the episode, and I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to the show. Ness, how are you?
I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
Yeah.
We have a very special guest with us. Would you like to introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Hello. Thank you for having me. My name's Leanne Mabry-Smith.
Fantastic. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
I am so honoured to be here on the podcast. I love it.
Amazing. And you're a listener as well, which is
fantastic. I am a listener. I haven't listened to all of them yet, but I'll catch up at some stage.
That's amazing. Anyone that listens is a friend of the podcast.
And watch.
That's right.
Yeah, wow.
And you know Ness from quite a while back as well.
Yes, we're not going to talk years, Jonty.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, we are going to add them up? Okay.
Yeah.
Since I was 17.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I think you were 16.
Could have been 16. Yep. Yes, in year 11, I met Ness at
Cheltenham Girls High School.
We were little pink elephants.
We were.
And I was the new girl.
Ah.
And Ness rescued me.
Ness was the cool girl at school.
She was the cool girl. She brought me into the cool group.
Did I?
Yeah, you rescued me from the God Squad.
Oh. Yeah, so I did a bit of that. I think I led you astray.
Nah.
A little bit, babe.
Nah.
It was dodgy. Fun. Yeah.
It was fun.
I remember in the girls' bathrooms, the first time Leanne saw herself without glasses. She had these Coke bottle rim glasses.
I did.
At big ones. They were very beautiful and very 80s. And I saw and watched her put contacts in for the very first time.
Yep.
We had a moment, didn't we?
I'll never forget that moment. I said, I can't believe how long my nose is. Without the glasses.
You were so brave to poke that shit in your eye.
I know. Incredible. Life-changing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been friends for a very long time.
That's great. Mm. That's great. I'm super excited to hear that relationship come out in this conversation as well.
Yep.
I should just say as well before we dive in proper that if you hear kids running around and screaming in the background, it's because we're recording directly above playgroup today,
which
that's not edited in. That is the real sounds of children.
It's joyful.
Yeah, that's right. So we're here to talk to you about your art. But before we do that, we're going to do something we haven't done in a little while on this podcast is we're going to do Vent Central.
Play the music, Jonty.
So it's my turn to talk about something that has been annoying me. And I was trying to think about something. I've been in quite a good mood recently. So I was like, I have to actually think quite hard about if there's something that's been annoying me recently. And then it hit me. We are sort of in Sydney at the moment. COVID is
picking up again a little bit. There's some cases are going up. But there's also plenty of people, as we're kind of starting to get a little bit more relaxed with COVID, and therefore being a little bit more relaxed with hygiene and things like that. There are some other sicknesses just going around which were a part of everyday life forever before COVID came along and made us all hypersensitive to that sort of thing. I was in the line at the shopping centre a couple of days ago just getting groceries with the trolley full of food and whatnot, loading it up onto the conveyor belt, and someone comes up way too close to me behind me just coughing and spluttering without a mask on. And it was this weird moment. I was like, 2 years ago, that was a new thing that we were all worried about, and now it's just this thing that I'm so sick of. It's been such a thing for such a long time. People, I guess it's probably been a thing forever, people not being great with personal hygiene and space in public places. But it happened to me for the first time in a little while the other day. And I was like, just back up. Like, and I had like a couple of exciting trips coming up that week. And I was like, if I get COVID this week, I'm going to be so mad at this stranger for just spluttering all over me for no reason. Like, we're in a shopping centre. There's so much room. You do not need to be this close to me.
Oh, you do though, Jonty, because you get through faster when you're closer, don't you?
That's right. That's right. Time actually speeds up.
Really, it's a time saver.
Yeah. And the poor person that's working long shifts behind the till is like, oh, that guy's getting close. Yeah. I better speed up, and because I'm not already doing my job as the best to the best ability
that I can.
Don't you
feel sorry for them, behind their little screens.
That's right.
At least they've got a little screen.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, that shit annoys me.
Good one.
Yeah.
Play the music.
I'll get back into the swing of doing Ben Central after a little break. I should have mentioned as well, this is the first podcast you've been on for a few weeks now.
Yeah, on holidays.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
I have been in Scotland having people cough all over me over there. I had many a moment sitting in a tin can for, 30-something hours with people coughing and no masks. It was really disconcerting and weird. So I fully understand how you
feel. Do they cough in a Scottish accent?
They do. It was so great. Yeah. I'm in love with Outlander, that TV show. Yeah, yeah. You know I'm a total dag.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I went to castles where they actually filmed Outlander, and we had this hilarious moment where I don't know if you know the series, but she actually time travels and she goes to a big ancient Neolithic stone circle in Scotland, and she goes through the stone circles back into 1700 and something. Well, Rob and I have joked about this, and it's a beautiful love story, and she falls in love with this other beautiful man and back in 1740 something. And so we went to one of the big stone circles in Scotland, and Rob's saying to me, that's my husband, he's saying, don't you go and touch the stone circles and piss off back to 1700 something, fall in love with Jamie Fraser, who's the hot love interest, totally hot, just saying. And I said, no, I won't, hun, I won't. And I'm kind of thinking, oh, I'd love to go through those stone circles and see Jamie Fraser. So anyway, I said, take a photo of me touching the stone circles. So I touch the stone circle, and I don't go through the stone circle, of course. I can't believe I'm just telling you this. And then Rob...
I mean, you could have come back again having already gone.
No, we'd be none the wiser.
Yeah. So then Rob goes up to one of the stone circles, which is right up the big end, and it's a big monster one, and he does that leaning on it thing like he's pushing it up like people do with the Tower of Pisa. And I take a photo of him. It's a great shot. And then I look down at my phone just to look at the photos, and I look up and Rob has gone.
Oh.
But the worst part was I yell out because I get panicked.
Did you?
Yeah, I yelled out and then burst into tears. Oh. And there was people all around me, other strangers looking at the stone circle. And Rob left it far too long to reappear.
Did you hit him?
Oh, it was worse than that, Leanne. Oh, it was on for young and old. But Rob, the thing is that all the people there were fans of Outlander. So I looked like the biggest loser you could ever wish to imagine.
He got you.
I did, well and truly.
He said, you, Rob.
Yeah, and he said to me, you really do love me. I said, oh, my gosh, do you... Oh, you are such a dick.
He was hoping for Claire.
He was. Touché. Exactly. Anyway.
We're going to have Rob back on the podcast to tell his side of that story. I'd love to hear that.
It's hilarious.
He laughed. He thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Of course he did.
Oh, I felt so embarrassed. That's so funny. Let's talk about religious artwork, John.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Yeah. So... we have been talking to artists on this podcast. We've had some musicians. I believe you are our first visual artist.
Mm. Yes,
on this show. We have one or two others that we haven't quite lined up yet. So
that's great.
I'm excited to hear about art that I am not a practitioner in. I'm excited to learn. Do you want to just maybe take us through first, like, how you started, like how did you first become interested in art? Was that something that was around your home and your family growing up? Like just paint a picture for us.
Okay. I've grown up in a home that was pretty creative, I guess, but not in a traditional visual art way. My dad is a bass baritone singer and entertainer, or was, and he developed that in a later, like in his late 20s, early 30s, I guess. Mum's sort of been a bit of a sewer and knitter and all of that sort of stuff. But so not totally, not artists as such, but we were always brought up around music. We played instruments, all of us. I'm the eldest of three kids. And we went to Sunday school and church in the old Baptist church. And I guess my mum won't like me saying this, but probably Dad was the most outwardly creative parent, if I can say that. And I've just always loved drawing. As Mum said, I've always drawn dresses ever since I was a little girl and played with dresses and dressed my Barbies and drawn. And I don't get car sick, thankfully, so on long car trips. Kids, this is the days before computers in the back of your car and DVDs in the back of your car. So we had to read or draw, and that's what I would do. Mm. Yeah, so... I loved it, yeah.
Were your younger siblings also interested in drawing and, like, were you sort of, like, the odd one out?
I think I was the odd one out. Oh, they did draw, but they're more muso nerds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I went more in that way, I suppose. I was always sort of trying to be a bit different. Vanessa will attest to that. In my younger years, I'd shop at the op shop and come home and Mum would go, what have you got on, Leanne? But, I just expressive, I guess.
And what's interesting is that my dad was a graphic designer, an artist, and Leanne's dad was an actor. And it was interesting, something that you said just before we came on the show. You said that my dad inspired you.
Yes, John did inspire me because I'd go and stay at Ness's place often in high school. We'd have sleepovers and his beautiful artwork was all around the house, and they lived in a beautiful early 19th century home. And it was just, I was gobsmacked really half the time, and I thought, wouldn't that be great to be able to paint like that? I was really inspired by John. Bought a couple of his paintings and
And yet I was really inspired by Paul Mabry, who is Leanne's dad, who was a well-known actor. And I remember being absolutely mesmerised any time I would get to see Paul, because Paul would often be home when we got home from school because he didn't work a normal job.
That's right.
And so Paul would be there like my dad, because Dad didn't work a normal job. And so both our dads were super creative men. Mm. And I was in love with Paul, and Leanne loved what Dad was doing. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I went on to be an actor, and Leanne has gone on to be an artist. Yeah. Isn't it bizarre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I got out of, as Ness said before, I did 3-unit art at high school and loved it. And we had an amazing art teacher called Liga Leapens. Mm. We'll never forget that name.
Oh, Ness. Liga. I just won't forget her cask wine in her coffee cup.
We won't mention the school.
No, we already have.
We have already, that's right. Oh, God bless her. She was gorgeous and so helpful and very encouraging. Wasn't
and
she?
Yeah, and I found out that Liga actually went through art school with Dad.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah.
They went through art school together.
Wow, it's a small world.
Very much
Where
so.
Was that?
Sydney Art School.
Oh, they went into East Sydney?
East Sydney, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which is now the National Art School.
Correct.
Wow.
That's right. Just on Oxford Street.
Yeah, that's right, that's in the old jail. Well, yep. That's where I went after high school.
Yeah.
I went there and did 3 years of a dress design certificate, is what they called it then. Mm. And that was 3 years of slog, but I did life drawing and learned how to draw and make frocks. And Mum's favourite story is that we'd have to make big costumes and individual designs. They were called individuals, and you had to get a model, you had to fit a brief, and you had to pattern make, and make up this outfit. But you know, you'd be up half the night trying to finish the darn thing, and I'd be on the train, you know, madly sewing a hem or buttons on or something like that on the way into East Sydney from Eastwood. So
I remember being a young actor and still in college, and you were in art school doing fashion design, and I remember being in the Battle of the Bands at Sydney Uni. And my sister and I were in a band and we were singing, and I needed a really funky outfit to wear, and I wore one of your designs.
I don't remember that.
Oh, it was a fantastic jacket, this like a battle type jacket that was just such not the look at the time.
Yeah.
And this fantastic long skirt that was almost had it.
Oh, I remember that. Remember that was taffeta.
Oh, my God.
At the 80s, baby, that was taffeta.
Oh, I felt like I was so cool.
I think it was water wave taffeta, actually.
Of course it was. It was amazing. I felt like Pat Benatar.
Oh, you were.
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay, there we go. These references are going over my head. But
come
I got,
on,
I got, yeah, I'm on board
you
now.
You can Google it later, Jonty.
Too funny.
Where was I?
So then after that. Yep.
Yep.
And you went on
Where
worked
am I up to?
In fashion?
I went and worked at a fashion house, which was great. I got a job.
Mm.
And then I really knew I was alive. that was hard work, but it was good. I learned. You do. I think for those listening, I'll be a mummy here for a moment. You learn the most on the job, I think.
Mm.
You learn a bit at school, and then you learn the most when you're actually doing it. And that was certainly true for me. Mm. So I got to do. In those days, there was no apps to draw on. There was no Adobe.
Mm.
We had to do everything. As your dad would attest, being a graphic artist, you had to do everything by hand. So I used to draw up big storyboards for clients, for uniforms. We got into uniforms in that business and, that's what I did for a few years. Yeah, and then I went to Melbourne and got out of the fashion industry. I went into the production side of it, not the designing side of it. Which was a little less pressure. And then I started having babies.
Mm.
And that was the end of that little chapter.
Mm.
Mm.
And so you stopped sort of being more formally involved in the art world at that point.
Yes.
At the point of having children. Can you talk to me about what it was like deciding to re-enter into that space and like what prompted you to re-engage with art?
So when I was very pregnant with Georgia, our eldest, we were in Melbourne and I joined a local art society and I always wanted to learn how to do watercolour.
Mm.
So I joined a watercolour group and I loved it. I still love watercolour. That's my main passion. And I used to sit down by the bay with this massive belly and I'd be painting on plein air, as they call it, outdoors. With the wind blowing because we were living near the bay, which was very nice at the time. And, I'd be be watercolour painting down there, and that's what I did on and off when I had time in between having kids and running a household. I'd be just painting with what I'd learnt and what I picked up, because there was no YouTube then, Jonty, to learn from and books, you know, and I'd just sort of dabble. I was a dabbler and a, you know, it was a hobby really, but I always loved it. So I just fit it in when I could and didn't do any more classes until the kids went, left home, and we became empty nesters, and I went, right, it's mum's turn. And I'd always wanted to go back to art. I wanted to do art school after I did college, fashion design. I think that was my first love, really. But it's a lot of money to go back to school, and it requires a big commitment. So when the kids left home and grew up and did all of their studies, I decided to go back to art school. And I had been doing watercolour classes at night for 4 years, learning under an amazing tutor called Krista, and whose name is Krista, sorry, Krista. And I learnt an enormous amount there, and she asked me if I'd like to do the Diploma of Art. So I jumped in the deep end and did that, and then this year I finished the Advanced Diploma.
She just graduated, like she just literally off air told me that she just finished and just passed her last piece of work.
So I'm like green L's or green peas. I'm on my green peas of art.
I love the green pea thing.
That's awesome.
It's cool, isn't it?
This is totally off topic, but I just remembered, and you'll find this funny, the first couple of times that I actually preached at church, I put L plates and then red peas and then green peas on the lectern.
That's
why
great,
didn't you
tell
me to do that? That is so good.
That's good, Jonty.
Yeah.
Nothing's stopping you from doing it
I
now.
Could do that now. Yeah. What's the first pea you get?
The red.
Red peas. Yeah.
Is that the... Oh,
L's
yeah.
and then reds and then greens.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I reckon I'm on a red pea.
Yeah.
I think you're past red
you're,
now.
I think you're on your black license already.
Oh, I don't think so. I think just a red pea. I'm going to put that up on Sunday, I reckon.
At least green, I think, Ness.
Nah, just go red pea, much better. Stay humble. They'll never know. Hey, Leanne, in this last suite of work that you've been doing, I've been following you, and I watch you on Insta and Facebook, and as you
Thank
have
you.
Developed your... works, and I know you've done a whole lot of work and a major work on religious art.
That's
which
right.
I think's fascinating. Mm. Can you share? Is it too broad for me to say? Can you share a little bit about that? And then I want to take us into that beautiful piece that Jonty will share with us, so that our people can actually see the piece we're talking about.
Mm. Yeah, sure. I felt earlier in the year when I started to do the advanced diploma that I wanted to, I guess, nail my colours to the mast a bit, and I hadn't really shared at school that I was a Christian, but sort of to those I became a bit closer to, knew. And I thought, come on, Leanne, you need to perhaps talk about this in your artwork and make the artwork... worthwhile, is that the word, or go a bit deeper, I guess. I really felt God prompting me to do that. And I was listening to a Christian radio station, just any old morning, and I heard an interview with the Abdullah family, the couple who tragically lost their three children and their niece in that terrible car accident in Oatlands in February 2020. And they have set up a wonderful program, what do you call it, an outreach, a forgiveness program actually, and it's called I Forgive Day on the 1st of February, which is when the tragedy occurred. And they do that every year, and I just heard them speaking and I couldn't believe how they could forgive this man that was drunk and on drugs. He was a young man and it was an accident. But I just couldn't believe what that would feel like. I couldn't understand how they could forgive him. And I know that they are very, very committed Christian. They're a committed Christian family, and I'm a Christian too, but I just still was overawed by what they were saying.
Because they lost three children plus a niece.
Three of their children, yes, and their niece. Yes.
Yeah.
On one night, I just couldn't fathom it. And I started to think about that and I felt like saying, well, in my head I was hearing, well, blessed are those who mourn.
Mm.
Blessed are those who show mercy. So that's from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 in the Bible.
Oh, I'm so impressed that you know that.
Well, I should know it by
Such
now.
Such a squeaky Christian.
I know. Just let me shine my halo. it just came into my mind. I mean, I don't know a lot, but I do know that. And I didn't know it all off by heart. But I know that sometimes the Holy Spirit does put things into your mind and brings them to your mind. That's what I believe anyway. And I started to sort of think about that and I thought it'd be really cool to do an artwork on that because that's really moved me and I should do some more work on things that move me if I want to be serious about this gig. So I began sketching and I thought I want to do a print. I really enjoyed my printmaking courses in this season and I wanted to do a print about the Beatitudes and that was harder than I thought it would be.
Jonty will bring that image up on the screen for us now, but before we go into that, can I just ask you, so you're at art school and you're with all these really cool people. I've seen them there because I've been to one of your exhibitions and they're super cool. It's got a vibe, Jonty, like it's just like
young
and hip and cool and you know, because you're that.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
That nobody has a smooth blow-dried bob, put it that way. No. Okay.
Blow-dried?
No. Do they, Leanne?
No.
Nah, nobody has that. Nobody has coral nail polish.
No.
Okay. It's not like that at all. How did the whole Beatitudes, Jesus conversation, inspiration, religious art palaver go down in that space? How did you make that bit work for you? What happened?
I started sketching.
Because it's brave, sister.
Yeah, I guess it is a bit brave.
Mm.
But in art, people talk about all sorts of things going on in their life and artists go deep. Mm. I don't know if you've been to any exhibitions lately, but sometimes it's all out there.
Mm.
And I really felt, well, if that's all out there, why aren't I all out there with what I think's important and what's speaking to me?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, come on, get brave and have a go at it. And I just shared it quietly. I just said, this is what I'm doing. I spoke to my tutor about it. What do you think? And some of the ladies who are a bit more my age that I made friends with.
With coral nail polish.
With coral nail polish and mascara.
Mm.
And they thought it was, they kind of went, oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Because what else can you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. So I just started sketching and that was the hard part actually, was coming up with these ideas and these thoughts and these messages of, well, what's it going to look like with blessed is are those who mourn? What's it going to look like with blessed are those, the peacemakers?
Mm.
Or blessed are the, what's the one people like saying the most? Blessed are those...
Merciful?
No, there's... The meek. Blessed are those the meek because they will inherit the earth. Yeah. And someone said to me, oh, I can't wait for the meek to inherit the earth.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, okay, so that's interesting. Mm. So how do you illustrate that, those concepts and those thoughts?
So looking at the image now, it's it gives me a real sense of, I get a visceral feeling when I look at it.
Yeah.
And I think it's from the image of the big sword through the heart.
Yeah, it's quite confronting, isn't it? I was unsure about putting that in.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I felt strongly to talk about the grief of life and, you know, coming from the Abdullah story.
Mm.
And we all have had grief in our lives of different varying degrees, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're alive, you have grief. You have a story, you have things you've gone through and there's pain and there's levels of pain. And I think even though it's confronting, I wanted to go, well, that's what it is. That's what it feels like sometimes, heartbreak or someone's kind of stabbed you. Mm. It's not talking about death necessarily. It looks like that. I was actually inspired by an artwork by Damien Hirst, the English artist who is quite well known, very well known actually. And he really confronts with his sculptures.
Mm.
he uses real doves in resin, for example.
Mm.
I won't go any further because I don't want to upset you, Ness.
Yeah, I've got the tissues, but best not.
No. Mm. And I have looked at his work a bit more closely. But anyway, that was sort of inspired and taken from that. So I just started developing these different elements and how could I put them together. And I wanted to originally develop it like a stained glass window.
Mm.
And that kind of didn't eventuate in the end. It's kind of when an artwork starts out, sometimes it goes off in a different tangent,
a
bit like a story, you know, or a narrative.
The thing that just jumped to mind is one of my favourite illustrations about narrative, write fiction, is that there tend to be two different sort of archetypal types of writers, and I think this applies to all art, one being the architect, where before you write a word or before you put pen to paper or whatever it is, you've got a blueprint of the whole thing from start to finish and you just fill it out, and the creativity is inherent in putting together the blueprint. As opposed to the other archetypal type of artist, which is the gardener who plants the seeds and then allows the art to grow. So in the world of fiction, that would be the equivalent of writing chapter one before you know how the book ends and just allowing the characters to tell the story and discovering it as you write. So that struck me as an example of a little bit of gardening as opposed to architecture.
Mm. Where I think that probably is more me. Is that what type of writer you are?
I think so. I've tried both I think it's less simple as you're one or the other, and I think it's more what is appropriate for the piece that you're working on.
Mm.
But would you say that sort of speaks to – because it sounded to me like this sort of started as one thing and then as you were doing it, it sort of progressed into another. And
yeah, that's right. And they encourage that. I mean, you've got to do experiments, and I did that, and things didn't – some methods didn't work as well, and then I thought, okay, I have to rethink this. One of my linos – broke and melted in the oven, so I had to redo it. And this is a 60 centimeter circumference.
That's massive
diameter. Sorry, getting my maths mixed up.
Yeah,
it was a big lino, and you know, go hard or go home. Silly me.
So it's a lino print, Leanne. How do you actually? I want to come back to the images again, but how do you actually make it be a thing?
Yeah, so lino is, a lot of people might have done this at school where they've done carving. You might have done it in primary school or high school. It's like a big piece of lino, like you'd put on the floor, and it's compressed, and it's got like webbing on the back of it, hessian on the back of it, and it usually comes in a grey colour. And you get a sharp, so you draw on your design, making sure that if you want to have writing, you have to do it in reverse because it's a print. Learnt that the hard way. Jonty's laughing at me.
No, I was about it's a rite of passage for public high school students in year nine to A, cut their thumb on the little scoopy thing, and B, carve in writing the wrong way around.
Absolutely.
Which I've done both.
Yeah. And any type of printing. I've done that with a another type of print. But anyway. So then you draw on it. And then you carve out what you want to be white, and what is left in the raised surface is inked up in black or whatever colour ink you put onto it, and then you roller it on. I'm doing it very simply. You're looking at me confused, Ness.
I'm just thinking, how the hell did you know how to do that, girl?
There's a lot of drawing, and I draw the whole thing out in black, and then this is what I did. Some people do it much more neatly. I put white pen over where I wanted to carve it out because I'm a bit thick. I have to.
Yes, I'm not thick. I can't believe you just said
I
that.
I have to work it out. I go, because you do have to think in a different type of way.
Reverse.
I'm using my hands a lot. You do have to think in reverse.
Visualise.
So
what
you sketch
doing.
It all out on a massive piece of paper and you have to really plan. It's a planned thing. And then you go, okay, is it still looking okay before I transfer it? Then you trace it onto the lino.
Wow.
And then you start the carving part, and that's the fun bit.
And
that's the bit where I cut my thumb.
That's where you cut your thumb, kids. Keep your hand away from the carving.
That's right.
And have you still got the original lino?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And so when I did the first one, it was winter, and so the lino gets very hard. I'll just share this because why not? the liner gets quite hard to carve, and so you can sitting out in the sun's a good way of doing it because it warms it up and makes it easier to carve. And in the studio at school, we have a warmer that warms it up, but we don't have that at home. So I thought, oh, just pop it in the oven on really low.
No. Oh, shit.
I just pop it on low and I'll watch it. I'll keep the door open and I'll just whip it out and it'll do a bit more and then I'll keep popping it back in. Well, anyway, me being me, I walked away and did another few jobs and came back to it, and the thing had hardened so much that it cracked. So it kind of broke, and I was halfway through, so I had to do it again. But on the bright side, I did a better job the next time. I made it betterer.
Yeah. Oh, my
Lesson
God.
Learned.
Yes, yeah. That's right. I thought, well, if I'm going to do it again, I'm going to really ramp up the design. So
It's a huge process, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just incredible. I would love to see some of your original drawings.
Yeah, I should share that.
Yeah, I'd love to see what that actually looks like. Can you talk about the water? There's water being poured down into the heart.
That's representing the verse where it says, blessed are the pure in heart. And I thought, well, the heart's being washed. When we're pure in heart, we are washed. And in Christianese terms, we talk about the washing of the heart, or the washing of our sins by Jesus' blood. But also in the Bible, I believe the water is referred to, the living water refers to washing the heart clean. Is that right, Rev?
It sounds good to me. And we baptise in water.
We baptise in water. And yeah,
there's symbolism of the water.
It was
of
based
life.
On a sketch I did in class. And so I thought I'm going to put that in there because I really love the hand.
Yes.
I was trying to get better at drawing hands as well.
And what about the beautiful birdie down the bottom?
The birdie is a symbol of peace, which is the dove. And I had to put a dove in there.
Yeah, I love all the feathers.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah, and the beautiful little bit of...
The little bit of zhush. Yeah. No, not zhush.
No, what is it?
It's the olive branch.
Olive branch, yeah.
So when it flooded in Noah's day, we go back to Noah and the ark, and he sent out the dove three times, and the third time he came back, or she came back, with an olive branch to say that there was land. And then the rainbow came out, and... Sorry if this is triggering for people who have just been through the devastating floods of New South Wales. My heart goes out to you. It was to symbolise peace. I tried not to include iconism and symbolism that was overtly Christian. That one is, but...
But you wouldn't know
I loved the bird.
If you weren't a Jesus freak, you wouldn't know it.
No.
It just looks like a beautiful bird. You could think it was Katniss Everdeen from, you know.
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. It could look like Hunger Games. Do you know what I mean?
Did she have a bird costume? I can't remember. I only remember the fire.
This is where I get to shine, isn't it?
Yes, come on.
Go, nerd.
It's a Mockingjay.
It's a Mockingjay. Yes, it's all coming back to me.
I rewatched all those movies semi-recently.
I love her.
So.
They are good movies.
Good
That's
one.
That's another conversation.
Yes. It strikes me as the sort of art that I don't have any tattoos yet, but the sort of when I think about what sort of tattoos I would like to have, I love the idea of like an arm or a shoulder being almost like a sketchbook and just having a bunch of different little visual ideas, and some of the little things in there are the sort of design style that I would like to have a look
thanks,
at doing
Jonty,
later on.
That's a real compliment.
Maybe we'll chat later about some designs maybe.
Well, actually, some of the students that I got to know, a couple of them are tattoo artists and they were in my class and they really liked it. And I thought, well, if the young folk like it, I'm doing all right.
You are. Tell me the rose.
The rose is always considered a symbol of love. When you give somebody a rose, you love them. Petals don't last very long, but they're very beautiful. And whenever you, I don't know if you know of a memento mori, it's a Latin term which means remember you must die.
Really funny you bring this up. That was one of the first things that I decided that I wanted to get a tattoo of was memento mori.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
So I love this idea.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them out there, I believe, at the moment. Yeah. And I think it's a good thing. It sounds a bit like a bit of a drag, a bit depressing.
Yeah, it does. Need some bloody Prozac, people. What's wrong with you? Get on the mirtazapine. Shit.
But then you appreciate life. You appreciate every day when you're remembering, okay, this isn't forever. We only get one ride. Mm. Yeah. That's what
this
it's about.
This too shall pass.
And it was big in the Victorian age and the 18th century memento mori paintings. And
But because they were all carking it.
They carked it young. By 56, my age, they would have...
Mate, and they were losing kids in pregnancy and they were dying. Of course they were going to have that stuff on them.
There's a... I believe this is true. Don't quote me on this, but I had read somewhere that memento mori, not in, because that's Latin, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe in its original Latin, but that phrase was in whatever translation and language at the time was also part of the early Christian movement, as in remember
that's
the
true,
death of Jesus.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
You're exactly
right. That works better for me.
Yes, it was.
Which is part of where that ties in for me as like number one, I love the idea of remembering that everything is finite, including yourself. Mm. And when people, I think we've talked about this on this podcast before, this idea of death being, like what's death like? Well, it's probably exactly like the millions of years before you were alive. Mm. So remembering that this is finite, we have a little window of walking and talking and having fun, and then we go back to the state that we were before that. But also, as Christians, we talk about the death and resurrection of Christ all the time. And that phrase, memento mori, remember death, to me actually is an affirming message of life, weirdly enough.
Mm, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds contrary, doesn't it?
It does, but that's sort of how I've understood it. So, yeah, I've been thinking about getting that inked on me for a little while. Now it's out in the world, maybe I'll have to do it.
Do it, Jonty.
So interesting, because I walk around with a constant reminder that that life isn't forever. Because I've had a near-death experience.
Yeah.
So I have this, I don't want to have, I don't need to remember.
No.
I'm just getting over the fact that I didn't fucking die. Mm. And I'm trying to, do you know what
That's
I mean?
That's right.
I
well, people who have had that or had a very bad health scare.
Yeah.
Like cancer.
Yeah.
They do have that. And then I've heard and read that people then live a little bit differently
afterwards.
That's
exactly
I know
right.
You have, Ness.
Yeah, I'd have. And I think that's why this piece speaks so heavily to me.
Mm.
I just love it. I just it's palpable in its pain, really.
And the baby, I guess, is symbolic of hope as well, that there's new birth. There's you know, when you have a new child into the family, there's sort of a feeling of new hope and a new life has started, kind of afresh. And that also speaks to being blessed are the pure in heart, because children are pure in heart.
Mm.
And I love that
until
image.
They're filthy rat bags.
Yeah, well, when does that start? Until they learn to talk. Yes. We won't go into
well,
that.
Well, and we're actually... coming up to Christmas as well, which when I see the baby, I also think of because we're in Jesus. The season of Advent, I'm immediately drawn to the idea of the Christ child, which we're going to dive into more next week about what that means. So I don't want to harp on too much about that. But,
but the kid in the crib idea, isn't it? It's just, and it's surrounded, which I love in this, by this crown of thorns.
Yeah, that is the crown of thorns, and for those that may not know, that's the symbol I'll get my words right in a moment, that represents Jesus when he suffered and died before he went to the cross. He was given a crown of thorns on his head, and that would have been incredibly painful. Mm. So if I'm having a bad day, I try and remember, well, Jesus had these bad days too.
Thought that was a particularly
that was a bad
sucky
day.
One, wasn't
that was
it?
A bad day. I know that sounds a bit trite, but
and he knows the pain.
That's part of what the joy that I have been getting out of the Advent season the last couple of years in particular is the idea that, like we always talk about, oh, the greatest gift of Christmas is the baby. It's like, well, why? Who cares? Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, well, God is no longer this distant observer. He's present amongst us as human beings on earth and
flesh
experiences
and
those things. Yeah.
Everything from a pooey nappy, mate.
That's right. And I was rehearsing for carols the other week and we were doing Away in a Manger And there's that line, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. No, of course he did.
Bullshit.
He screamed and cried and shat his pants. No, and,
yeah. You could think, I'm not sure about that one.
No, he would have been off his face.
I think he was a baby. A
normal kid.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could be wrong. He could have been the...
Yeah, he couldn't
became
talk.
Human. Yeah. Became flesh.
Yes, he and was.
Just like us, you know.
I think he would have been a really good baby. He would have slept through the night, I think.
First child, maybe.
Maybe.
If all those bloody guests wouldn't keep rocking up, disturbing his nap. Right?
The dudes with the gifts. Yeah. Just give it a break. See the note on the door.
Yeah. He's having his afternoon nap.
Oh, it's too funny. It's the most exquisite piece of work, Leanne.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Ness.
On this, I'm sure that there will be many more prolific pieces to come from you. What's your goal moving forward with your art? What do you want to do?
Great question. I am just delighted when I can sit in my studio and paint and make it look like something. I get the stuff right. Look, I would love to be a working artist. I'd love to make money from my art. Mm. I'd love to speak to people, to give people hope, to give greater meaning to the things of life, to be able to reflect on life. I think that's what art is for, really. Mm. Just not sure. It's still evolving. Like I said, I've got my green or red L's on, P's or whatever they are, my P's. Mm. And I'll let you know, I did write a children's book last year.
You did.
Amazing.
And illustrated it, which I loved. And I'm trying to get a publisher for that. I have been asked if I'd write another one, and you've been a great encourager of that. You're one of my biggest cheerleaders. Mm. Thank you.
Beautifully illustrated. It's absolutely the most gorgeous kids' book.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a around the sort of memento mori theme of appreciating every day with our dog and what's the best thing about today. But you can find more of that on my website.
Absolutely.
And we'll put those in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, advertise.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'd love doing that, and it was a great learning experience. So they're all things I've got to look forward to, and Pete probably would like me to bring some money in.
Yeah. Maybe an exhibition.
An exhibition is something I'd like to do.
Maybe we can host that at Uniting Heart and Soul.
Wow, hearing it here first.
What do you think? I think that'd be amazing.
Board. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a beautiful venue for that kind of thing.
And,
gorgeous.
And I've made friends with some really lovely artists and very talented people, so... Mm. We could maybe have a collaboration.
That sounds fun, and we could have music, and it could
sounds
be
great.
Lots of wine and cheese.
Somerset, if you're listening, we'll talk.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds fun.
Yeah. So that's my plan for the next however long God gives me.
Mm.
That's awesome. And where can people find you if they were interested in looking at your stuff or trying to catch you for – engaging you in work? Like, how can people find you?
Yeah, my Insta and Facebook is LeanneStudio1717, and I'm at studio17.com.au.
Amazing.
My website, which is still being updated constantly. Mm. Yeah, so that's where I'm hanging out.
Awesome. Yeah, and we'll have those linked down below if you're watching or listening.
Thanks, Jonty.
Go and check those out.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're watching, you'll have seen the print already, but we'll have links to a few other things as well to go and check out. Was there anything else we wanted to cover while we're here?
I just want to say, don't I have nice friends?
Nice people have nice friends.
See? Quality person.
Yeah. That's so cool that, like, I'm 24. I hope that I have friends from high school still around when I'm when I'm older. It's pretty cool.
You will.
Yeah,
you will. You're a quality human.
Yeah. Because, we should do gratitude.
Mm.
Let's do gratitude. I've got one right off the bat.
Go.
Friends, how good are they?
Yeah, they're awesome.
And friends that stick around for long periods of time, like the friends that have seen you go through stuff and are still there. Yeah, they're the real deal.
We have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stick with you even though you're a bit of a dick. sometimes.
Dick moments.
Yeah.
Oh, can I share a dick moment?
Please.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, please, Leanne.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, we can ditch it if you hate it, okay. But I'll say it. And right. If you hate it, Jonty can ditch it, okay?
I've got a feeling I know what it is.
No, but it's so good though, okay? No. It's so good.
Okay.
So I've had my heart attack.
Oh, no.
I'm in hospital, right? I'm five days from being dead and I'm alive. Leanne finds out on her husband's Facebook that I've had this horrendous thing happen, and Leanne turns up at hospital and I'm so excited to see her as she walks in the door, and she apologises to me for having not been in touch and having ditched me from Facebook, and I never even...
Because she was doing Reverend Land and never talked to me.
Because I was busy at uni doing Reverend Land.
You did admit to being a bad friend for a while.
I was, because I was so busy in
doing Reverend
Land
study, and I get that now.
You know,
I know what that's like now.
Yeah, it was full on. And I just, everything became all about UTC and what I was doing at college and under the pump and running a business and doing the thing. And so Leanne just went, well, fuck Vanessa, ditched me, finds out because Pete still kept me as a friend, thank you, Peter Smith, and says, by the way, Ness looks like she nearly fucking died, you better give her a ring. Turns up and crying, saying, shit, I ditched you, mate. So I didn't even
I did
realize.
Make a lasagna as well.
We have been through some classic moments, and it's just the beautiful thing is that we've done children, we've done baptisms, we've done affairs. My family, Rob and I having affairs, Leanne, whether that we did, I went to church with Leanne.
I haven't had an affair.
No.
It's okay.
Just clarifying that before we brush through that.
Oh, the stories I could tell.
Yeah, but Leanne was at Hillsong and encouraging me to go to Hillsong back in the day. Huh. And so we go right back there together. We're both pregnant together doing, you know, I just still remember the singing Shout to the Lord with our babies in our guts, you know, when it was a new song.
Yes.
You know, Dahl's was knocking it out for the first couple of times.
Friends are good, and there will be times when you go apart and life happens.
Yep.
But if you can catch up after however long and it's still like it wasn't any time at all, you just hang on to that person with all you've got.
Yeah.
And Ness is that.
Yeah, Leanne is that.
Me.
It's how we roll.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's mad.
It is mad.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, really. Can't quite believe it.
Amazing. We'll have to have you back on the podcast. This was great.
Thanks.
I think that just about does it this week.
It's been great talking to you guys.
Yeah, we hope it's been good to watch and listen to. I reckon we will do our best to have some more visual artists on the podcast.
Please.
It's really exciting for me.
Cool.
So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Leanne.
Thank you, Ness. Thank you, Jonty. It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll see you all next week. This has been Filthy Hope. Catch you later.
Thanks for listening. Once again, links to Leanne's work will be down below. If you like this podcast, you can support us by leaving a 5-star review for the show on your chosen podcast platform. This really does help us to cut through to new audiences more efficiently and helps us to get the algorithm a little bit more onto our side, suggesting our show to new listeners. Honestly though, the best way that you can support this show is just by telling your friends about it. If there's someone in your life who you think would enjoy listening to the show, take this as your prompt to go and tell them about it. You can find us on socials or get in touch more directly by emailing us at filthyhopepod@gmail.com. Next week the podcast will actually be coming out on Saturday instead of the usual Friday release for our first ever Christmas special on the show. And likewise the week after that, we will also be releasing on Saturday, the 31st, for our New Year's Eve special, where we're going to be taking a look back at the year that was 2022. That's all for this week. We'll see you again next week for our Christmas Eve special. But until then, always remember, take Jesus seriously and don't be a dick.